talk to you about what it means to be called by God. And a lot of times when this subject is discussed, it's about people who are called to preach or called to the mission field or called. And all of those people have experienced what I'm going to talk about today first. Okay? And sometimes you can get to feeling like you're a little insignificant. And I'm here to tell you that's not the case. And if you listen to what I have to say, you can't even argue. You just have to look yourself in the mirror and say, believe it. Okay? So, Father, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for choosing today to talk about this. And we ask for you to make imprints on people's understandings from the power of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I will do this as quickly as I can. Read you the first paragraph from your outline, if you have one. It says, we are all called by God, and God is calling us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. The words call, called, and calling that we find in the scriptures mean an invitation, a bidding to come, an authoritative calling forth. They mean to appoint, to choose, to summon, or to name, implying ownership. That last one's really good. We talked about the name tag and being called by his name. That implies ownership. We're bought with the price. We're not our own. And it's really significant to know that's part of what it means to be called. So, familiar verses from Ephesians chapter 4, the first four verses. Therefore, I, this is Paul, prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. If you look this up, I don't have time to go back into it, but Paul's addressing the church at Ephesus. He's talking to everybody. He's not talking to apostles, prophets. He's talking to everybody. He writes this to the whole church. And walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. There was no question in their mind that they had been called. So don't let there be a question in your mind. To do it with all humility and gentleness and with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Man, you could spend a long time on that, showing tolerance for one another in love. We don't. We show tolerance for one another in ignorance in our culture. We tolerate all sorts of stuff. Anyway, I just better go on. But we're supposed to show tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do you notice what he says about unity? He says you preserve it. You don't deserve it. You don't go out and grab it. It's already there. The body of Christ has unity. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who's over all, in all, and through all. That was fast. But there's the unity of the Spirit is to be preserved. You walk into it. You're born into it. We've got to wake up to that. Do we pray for unity? Yes, it's the acknowledgement of it and the understanding of it and the way to work it out outside of us. But inside in the kingdom of God, there's a unity in the body of Christ. Amen. And we're supposed to preserve it. That'll have to be for another day. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in the hope of your calling. There's a hope with your calling. What's the hope? The hope that God is who he says he is, and he does what he says he's going to do, and he will come and show up and be God in your circumstances. Yeah. We could go home. That's pretty good. We're not going to, but we could. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I love this. I've taken times when we baptize people and prayed this over every person when we've done it. I just love this verse. These verses, to this end also, we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling. Not trying to figure out whether or not you're called, but count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. Every desire in you for goodness. That's a great way to pray for yourself. It's a great way to pray for others. I don't know how to pray for you, but I do pray that the Lord would fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power so that the name of the Lord Jesus will be glorified in you. Glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? There's this calling, and he says, here's the deal. I want every good thought, every God thought for goodness that's in you to get fulfilled and the work of faith with power. Never, see, the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good, right? And sometimes the church just stops there. Well, let's do good. No, man, we're not the Boy Scouts, right? I mean, we're not the ladies' auxiliary. Love ladies, don't mind auxiliaries. but it's supposed to be goodness and the work of faith with power. He never separates them. Now, there are times when the way he expresses himself is through goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, fruit of the Spirit. And there's times where it's a work of faith with power. And sometimes it's both. And they're always supposed to be both. You know how we fall out of unity with each other? When we try to only do one. We'll be the do-gooder guys over here. No, that's not redemptive, man. You know, that's offering the milk of human kindness. And I like to say the milk of human kindness turns to cottage cheese overnight. Do I need to say that again? Are we okay? Okay. I guess I should say Greek yogurt now. That'd be more. But never leave out the fact that part of the hope of your calling is the work of faith with power. And the church in the Western world has kind of backed off of that. Why? Because you can't make it happen. He can make it happen. Fact is, he does make it happen. So we're called, but we get this thing messed up. And the most important thing, if you don't get anything else, please get this. It's the kind of the first bullet point for you. You're called by a person to a person. It's a personal call. It's not unto a task first. It's unto a person. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the call. It's unto relationship, unto fellowship, unto family. Galatians 5, first 8 verses says this, behold, I pray, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again, every man who receives circumcision, that he's under obligation to keep the whole law. You've been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by the law. You've fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything but faith working through love. You were running well. You had this thing working. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Now get this, get this. This persuasion, this putting yourself back under the law, this being hindered from obeying the truth, this persuasion did not come from him who calls you. So if you try to get all lawed up and all fixed up by doing right rather than knowing righteousness, trying to put yourself under obligation to things that God's not putting you under, it says, the one who called you did not give you this persuasion. So my question to you today is, what persuasion is persuading you to do things that didn't come from God? What persuasion are you under, or what persuasion are you battling that's causing you to do things that God isn't causing you to do? And this happens all the time. People want you to try to be more spiritual than God. And that's just the dumbest thing in the world, isn't it? That's because it's out of this world. That's why. Now just think about it for a moment. All through the scripture you see it. People tried to add this. In the early days, people were getting saved that were not Jewish. And so the Jewish Christian said, yeah, but you've got to get circumcised. Why? Because we are. You have to do it our way. We have to add to that. Or no, you have to do the, you have to worship on the Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath. I'm sorry. Right? He's the fulfillment of that. And so our rest, our Sabbath rest, is in Jesus. Come unto me, all weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sabbath. Right? But now so you have to do that. I used to do a call-in radio show many years ago, and it was before 7-second delays were there, and so a lady called in one day and said, when are you guys going to get the whole gospel, the full gospel? And I thought, oh. And I joked, I said, well, a lot of people just carry a New Testament, you know. She didn't laugh. I said, ma'am, I don't understand your question. Could you help me? She said, yes. When are the rest of the church going to do what we do? And I thought, this is going to be fun. I said, I don't understand. You'll have to explain it to me. She said, well, every week we have the team that meets people at the door. We pull everybody's shoes and socks off and we wash everybody's feet because Jesus washed people's feet. And then I didn't have my pastoral hat on. I said, and then I bet they all ran around the building 7 times and it fell down. Just in case she was kidding, I said that. She wasn't kidding. That was pretty bad. But she honestly believed if you're really going to have the fullness of the Spirit, you had to wash everybody's feet every day. Oh, my goodness. And I thought, you know, he did that for his guys. And he did that, and it was a gesture, you know, like that. And it was before the cross, and, you know. See, if we do that, that's a persuasion that didn't come from God. Was it evil? No, it's just foolish. How many of you know a lot of people who aren't Christians or don't attend churches think that we're foolish? Yeah. Why? Because we do things like that, right? I mean, it's just silly. And I better get up back here and get to my outline. But what persuasion did it come from? He says, the one who calls you is not persuading you to do these things. That's just a good question to ask. Well, you don't have to get all tied in knots. Just go to the one who's called you and say, what persuasion do you want me to be under? I mean, I got something the other day saying, do you only use the King James Bible? And I said, it's kind of the only one I don't use. I didn't say it exactly like that, but because there are some people that think that's the original autographs, you know, that's it, and everything's based from that. Gosh, all of the new translations are based on scrolls and documents that are way older than the ones that the King James was translated from, have far fewer human errors in them. I mean, the Dead Sea Scrolls hadn't been found yet. This is a long time ago. You know, that was only in the 50s that the Dead Sea Scrolls came around. And, you know, Book of Isaiah, almost totally intact with almost nothing different than, that was just great. I'm telling you, people get an idea, and that's not from the Lord. I preached in the church one night that was only believed that you could use King James, only they didn't tell me till after I was done. They didn't much hear anything I said, because I preached from the New American Standard Version, which is what Jesus would have used if he was here. But, Now, what persuasion did that come from? I'm making a point. You know, we know in part and we see in part, and when we get to heaven, we'll know him as he is, and we'll know that he would have used the New American Standard. But all I'm trying to say, there's a persuasion that comes that actually keeps you from fulfilling your calling rather than completing it. Am I making sense? Did you ever see that verse before? It says, this persuasion didn't come from him. It didn't say it was evil. It's just foolish. Religious foolishness sometimes looks like evil, right? But there's a lot of religious foolishness out there, and that's not what he called us to be part of. Amen? So, you can be happy. You don't have to be upset about that. It's a good thing. So, what's persuading you is the issue. This is great. The way that the Lord words things. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says it this way. After you'd suffered a little while, I used to just stop right there. No thanks. But he didn't say, he's saying like this is a normal experience. After you suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. It's personal. It says by grace, and it's personal. And so I learned this. I was quoting a verse out of Psalms saying that God rescues us because he delights in us. And the Lord said, you need to tell people to quit complaining about needing to be rescued and recognize that it's my delight that gets them out. And I said, so you're talking about people, would that be me? But of course that's right. And so he says, after you've experienced this world in which there is tribulation, but don't worry, I've overcome the world, right? After you've experienced that, he's going to personally set you right. Confirm, perfect, that means to make complete. And he says he'll do it personally, and he does it by his grace. That's a really great thing. So we're called by the grace of God. And then he calls us his children. 1 John 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. So we really are the children of God. For this reason, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not yet appeared as what we will be. We know that when he appears, we'll be like him because we'll see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. We know that we are the children of God and it has not yet appeared what we will be. So you got to figure if you're going to grow up and be matured or if you're going to walk around with as Peter Pan for the rest of your life. I won't grow up. Now, a lot of people have that mentality. I want to grow up, but I don't want to go through what it might take to mature me. I'm not excited about the dealings of life that come to all of us. It rains on the just and the unjust, I read somewhere. Right? It's there. And you can have that thing. Say, no, if it's going to take that, I'm going to stop right here. And you know what? He'll let you. He'll let you. He'll also let you experience life from there that he wanted you to experience from here. And it's not raining over here and it is over there, but he'll let you. So never have that. He says, it does not appear yet what we shall be. Since it hasn't appeared yet and we don't know, oh Lord, I want to entrust myself in the moment, in the now, to be everything you want me to be, and in the next now, and in the next now, and in the next now. I played baseball when I was a kid, and I had really bad eyesight. I was a good bunter. Couldn't hit anything, but I was a good bunter. And I was quick in the field until I got to be about 13. When I got to be about 13, I shut down. I just didn't get any better. All my friends got better, and I didn't. And I did it football, and I did it basketball, and I did track. But baseball, I didn't get any better. So I quit because I wasn't serving the team very well. I used to be the leadoff hitter. Next thing I know, I'm batting seventh. Not a big ego boost on that one. But I realized there were people who were better than I, and if I was the coach, I needed to play them instead of me. And I told him so. And he said, no, man, you work hard and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't play the next year. I quit after my freshman year of high school because I knew that I just didn't have it. I was Peter Pan. I was never going to grow up. I wasn't going to get any better than that. And there were people who did. And I didn't kill me or anything, but I thought that's really, you can do that in your spiritual life. Well, there's people who are making it faster than I am. There are people who looks like they have more anointing than I do. Looks like they have more blessing than I do. You know, I need to figure out, if I was called of God to be hit seventh, I should be the happiest seventh place hitter on the face of the earth. Amen. Right? Amen. And I wasn't saved then. I didn't make it. I don't think he cared whether I played or not, to be totally honest. But the issue was, I recognized something, that I wasn't growing. See, and baseball, not everybody's not everybody's Ted Williams or George Brett or something, right? A lot of people that aren't. In the kingdom, it's not so, because it has not yet appeared what we shall be. You have no idea what your capacity can be in God. Like I say, there are no stars. There aren't any. He loves, he loves you as much as he did Billy Graham. Yeah. That might not turn Billy Graham on, that makes me happy. Right? And so whoever is your hero in the faith, you are filled with the same Spirit of God as he or she is. And you have the same capacity. See, if you're doing what he wants you to do, the way he wants you to do it, that's called success. The Bible talks about, the one talent and the two talent and the five talent and the 10 talent brothers and sisters. Well, what do? I'm going to complain to the guy. No. He gave you two talents. Invest them and get the most you can get out of them. And don't worry about having 10. Because you don't have near the responsibility the guy with 10 has. Right? People, I want to be a leader. You want to think about that? Because there's a little bit of privilege with leadership. There really is. But holy responsibility, Batman. You have to answer for this. Yeah. So the Lord's really smart. He leads people into leadership out of privilege. Now, I want to serve you. I want to love you, Lord. And then you wake up to the responsibility and say, how did I get into this? And the Lord said, I meant to talk to you about that. But he leads you the other way first. So don't worry about what you're going to be when you grow up. Just make sure you do. I don't know about you. I deal with lots of people every day. And oftentimes I tell my guys, had a million elders meetings, I've said, it's really hard to put in somebody what mom and dad left out. And we have lots of absentee moms and dads or unparented people parenting people. And so they only repeat that's really hard. We have a perfect Father. He knows how to put everything in, and he'll help you to throw the lousy stuff out. So we don't really have an excuse not to grow up and mature. Now, I'm probably never going to have an international ministry like Billy Graham did. And if I use Billy Graham as my measuring stick, I could be upset about that my whole life. I'm not very smart, but Billy Graham's not my measuring stick. Jesus is the model son. Isn't he? Isn't he? And if he can smile at you and you can smile at him, it's going pretty good. But don't let that Peter Pan thing rise up in you, because that's not what we're called to. Don't worry about it. We're not going to get through this whole outline, so just take a deep breath. Don't worry about it. The other thing you need to get is that our calling comes from heaven. Hebrews 3. Therefore, holy brothers, partakers of a heavenly calling. You are a partaker of a heavenly calling. Now, I've said this a million times, but when I first became a Christian, my history would not have ever told me I was ever going to be one. And so the things I'd find in the Bible that says are true about me were like you have the righteousness of God. And I'd go, have you read my bio? We have a heavenly calling. We are partakers of a heavenly calling. The next time you feel really distressed or really discouraged or feel like you've been passed over, you know those things that happen to humans? Yeah, but I am a partaker, a participant in a heavenly calling. You know, you get passed over for a promotion, shame on them for passing you over. But you know what? There's a higher authority here that has called you into a purpose. Are you with me? You're just trying to make me feel better. Of course. But it's not facts, it's truth that make you feel better. And the truth is, you've been called with a heavenly calling. That means heavenly stuff can come out of you here on the earth. That's the purpose. And every once in a while, I mean, I'd have to look myself in the mirror and tell me, John, this is what the Bible says about you. You don't look like it. You don't act like it. You don't talk like it. But he does. And he's perfect. I can't argue with perfect. So, Lord, there's something wrong here. You say it's true about me. I don't feel it. I got to back off my feeling and go with your truth. So would you please give me the grace to begin to walk in this so I look like I have a heavenly calling. I talk like I have a heavenly calling. I act like I have a heavenly calling. And you know what? That's what he's trying to get you to do. Right? Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Here, like it's done there. That's where the calling comes from. But you're seated there, heavenly places, but you live here. So I got a calling from there to live here. You're an ambassador. And so you got the right credentials. You got the right security clearance. You can pass the retinal scan. You can get in places where he sends you. And you can have results like he would get in heaven. That's really good. You need to know that reality, because there are a lot of times where everything's pretty stinking worldly, pretty earthly, and it doesn't feel heavenly at all. But the calling is. And he knows what he's doing. So he says, we are partakers of a heavenly calling, so consider Jesus, the apostle and the prophet of our faith. Oh, he was the same way. He was from there, and he came here, and he did pretty good. His results were quite remarkable. He's the measuring stick. It's a personal call. We're called to a heavenly calling from a heavenly God for earthly purposes. So, it's not just this abstract make you feel good thing. It's personal. God himself, it says, will confirm us and set us right. I love this quote by Oz Guinness. It says, calling is not only a manner of being and doing what we are, but also of becoming what we are not yet, but are called by God to be. Isn't that good? If you want to, if you like smart people, wise people, just read a book by Oz Guinness. Think, that's a weird name. Yeah, his name's the worst thing. The book's really good. His name's kind of funky. But really, that he's a great Christian thinker in our day. Loves Jesus with all his heart. Good guy. Viktor Frankl wrote this. This is really, really good. People that do what I do for a living need to hear this. You do too, but people that do what I do for a living need to hear this. Beware of anything that competes with your loyalty to Jesus Christ. The greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus is service for him. Whoa. The one aim of the call of God is the satisfaction of God, not a call to do something for him. Think about that for a minute. He's got like 200 bazillion angels that could do anything he wanted, right? He's not short on help. He's not. But he chooses people to do it so we can be involved and cooperate with him so other people can find him when they find us, because they're not expecting heavenly things to come out of people like us. The men and women of our Lord sends out on his enterprises are ordinary human stuff, plus a dominating devotion to himself wrought by the Holy Spirit. So be absolutely his. The call to God is personal. The call of God is for a purpose, and it's to be absolutely his. So he can call the shots, do what he wants, and he can cause us to have a life that's more significant than what was written in your senior yearbook underneath your name. I forget what mine was, and that's probably good. But there are people that think, that person's a loser, that person's a lust, that person's a, you know, not going to make it, all that kind of stuff. It's not at all what he says. That's my kid. That's my son. That's my daughter. Spirit of God from heaven lives in that person, and they have good works laid out for them that I came up with before they were ever created, that they could walk in them and people would see those good works and glorify me. That's what he says. That's the kind of life we can live. That's the kind of life we can live. What if I had more time? What if all of a sudden you got a hold of this and you become the most dependable person in the office? Don't you know, there's some people who say, well, we got this, we could trust that to this person, we could trust it to that person. We're not giving it to them because they'll mess it up. What if you become the person who became Mr. or Miss Dependability in the office? That's transformation, you know? And if the boss starts trusting you with stuff or not distrusting you with stuff, that's a witness, isn't it? Well, is that a high calling? If you're the only one in the office that's carrying the kingdom in that office, that man, you are the billboard for the kingdom in there. I mean, that's not an insignificant thing. We got to get our idea of where's God put us and why has he put us there? Who do we have a shot at? Someone in the prayer meeting, I'm not using names, I don't have permission, got called into their boss's office because their wife has cancer. And the boss told the employee, I know you and that church you go to prays. Would you pray for my wife? How did he find that out? Well, because he carries a lunch bucket that's got an orange, flashing Love Jesus sign on it. No. He lived amongst his peers as a person who knew the Lord. Isn't that cool? And so he got blamed for praying, and we got blamed for being prayers. Hallelujah. Never met the guy. Hope we get to. The idea is that it's your life that prays. It's your life that teaches. It's your life that preaches. It's your life that is, if I can say it, contagious with things from the kingdom. There's purpose to our call. And that purpose isn't always a place. It may just be a people that you've been set amongst. One thing it says, Galatians 5:13, you were called to freedom. That's one of the purposes, to be free for stuff and be freed from stuff. Wow, and sometimes you can't be freed for stuff because of the stuff you haven't been freed from yet, right? So don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That's really good. How do I know I'm living in freedom? Because I'm free to be able to volunteer. I'm free to be able to give. I'm free to be able to participate, right? I mean, free willfully, not just on the calendar. How many of you know you're never going to have time enough to do what you want to do? So the thing to do is dial in and try to find the time to do what he wants you to do. Because there's never going to be enough time. Yeah. I mean, the Lord has been gracious to me, and they only have 16 football games a year. Because if it was 30, I'd be more occupied. But he doesn't do that. I'm going to read this next two, and then we'll slow down. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, then, brothers, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you receive from us instruction as how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, and that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God. Now, this doesn't get any plainer. This is hard. I mean, this is like, I'm trying to search for the will of God. Well, go find the places where it says what the will of God is and do all those, and then you'll be closer to the one you don't know. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles do who don't know God. And that no man transgress or defraud his brother in the matter, because of the Lord is the avenger of all things. Just as we told you before and solemnly warn you now, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Man, when I did youth ministry, this was called the sex talk. Oh no, he's in Thessalonians. But it's so clear. He says, flee immorality, right? That's your calling, to flee immorality. Well, how do you do that? Well, don't run at it. Run away from it. Because see, in our day, it's different at a level different, because there are so many more opportunities for immorality to run at you. Right? I mean, it's like, I was introduced to pornography when I was 7. You know? Messes your innocence up a little bit. Well, then, you know what? That's like a homing device. And that stuff will find you when you ain't looking for it. You know? I mean, I had stores I couldn't walk in. I set myself up. I wouldn't walk past these magazine racks. I'd go the long way around the mall, stuff like that. And it was stupid. I mean, I was wasting time. But I knew me. And I also knew... Then when he called me, it was like, oh, man, I got responsibility and all this kind of stuff. That's just one thing. For some people, it's chocolate. I mean, word to God, it was chocolate with me. But there's lots of things. See, immorality is in the water. You know, I mean, our culture, we use cleavage to sell orange juice, for heaven's sakes. I mean, it's true. So what does that mean? It means you don't have to be pursuing it. That's a persuasion coming in your life that didn't come from him. Yeah. And so you can't avoid it. You can't. Billboards, magazine covers. I mean, you just can't get away from it, right? Music videos, television, movies, right? Yeah, anything. And in the time the Bible was written, there wasn't any internet, you know. Right? And there wasn't any television, there weren't any movies and stuff. But so they just had to do other stuff. I mean, they were drawn in the sand, dirty pictures. I mean, you know, just. You think I'm kidding? No, the spirit of the age has always been the spirit of the age. The God of this world has always been the God of this world. Darkness has always been darkness. Right? He just has so many more spokes to the wheel. And yet, right in the smack dab in the middle of that, he says, you know what the will of God is for you? Not to get caught up in that crud. So, I mean, it was so enlightening to me, and I'll reveal my ignorance to you. It took me a long time to figure out everything wasn't my fault. Because I wasn't running at that stuff. That stuff was finding me. No, it's not that I'm above running at stuff. You mean you understand? But you understand what I'm saying? In our age, there's a pursuit of immorality of lots of kinds. You know, it's immoral to cheat financially. This isn't all about sexual stuff, right? I mean, lack of integrity is a moral problem. I mean, I could go on and on. But the Lord says, that's not my purpose for you. You're called to a purpose. What is it? Well, it's not all that other stuff. It's this. Now, listen to me. I'm going to quit because I'm going to have to. But you got to get this. The call of God on your life is to be blameless, not sinless. And I tried, I am a big fool. For years, I tried to make my call sinless because I didn't want to hurt the one I love. He did so much for me, I didn't want to disappoint him. And so what did I do? Just disappointed the heck out of myself. Right? Until I learned what it says. And the Bible says we're to be blameless before him. If I could have been sinless, Jesus would not have had to die. And I'm telling you, fundamentalism, legalism, tries to make you live sinless, and it can't be done. Now, if you walk with the Lord, if you fall in love with Him, if you worship Him, if you pray, if you put yourself in the midst of company that love Him too, and iron sharpens iron, and we get better, you'll never be sinless, but your life will grow, and you'll probably sin less. Blamelessness is keeping short accounts. When you mess up, you tell Him you messed up. You admit that you messed up. And 1 John 1:9 says, if you do that, then He is righteous, faithful, just, both to forgive you and cleanse you. Clean slate. Clean slate. Golly. I'm so glad they didn't leave 1 John 1:9 out of the Bible. God put it in there, if you will, on purpose. Because we're called according to a purpose. And if you're constantly condemned in your thinking, you'll never get anything done that He wants you to do. As a matter of fact, you'll try to make yourself do more because you're condemned in your thinking. And you'll go extra hard to try to do more, and then you're not accomplishing God's purpose. You're adding things to the purpose that didn't come from the one who persuaded you to be called in the first place. This is really good. So we're called to a purpose. Well, how do I avoid immorality? Well, the first thing is to drop your subscription. I've always thought this way. I've always done this. He can help me think different ways. I cancel that subscription. I'm not saying you're subscribing to Him. It's a way of thought that I'm talking about that we subscribe to, that we're giving into a persuasion that didn't come from the one who called us. Right? And then quit running. I mean, you know, if you always ran to it, standing still is pretty good because you're not running into it. Are you with me? Yeah. And so eventually, guess what? Having done all the stand, you can stand. If you stand, you'll start walking the right way. He'll empower us to do that. Why? Because it says that even after you've suffered a little while, God Himself will reach in and help you. Yeah. Listen, when I first got saved, I got cleansed in my thinking. I mean, I would tell Kathy, I'd come home, babe, it's like somebody took my brains out and washed them and hung them on the line. I just couldn't believe it. I mean, the first year or so, golly, I'm sorry. The first year or so that I was saved, every time I heard somebody cuss, I confessed it. So they could be forgiven, because I didn't want anything to be between, and I didn't want him to be defiled. I mean, it just messed with me. And I told the Lord, I can't do this all day. Well, He wasn't asking me to, but I'd been so sensitized to what had been come. When I heard what came out of my mouth after I got saved, I couldn't believe what came out of my mouth. And it just took me, months diligently just to say, oh, Lord, I claimed 1 John 1:9. I prayed it out loud every time I cussed. I mean, my longtime friends have heard this, was 63 times by 10 o'clock one morning. 63 times. And I went in the bathroom at work and I said, I'm going to lose my job. I can't keep coming in here and praying out loud. Nobody has that kind of sickness that it happened 63 times in 3 hours. But I was sincere. He put something in me. And it was empowering me. And I don't know if I've cussed since, to be honest. I don't even think of it. It's just like, poof, it's not in the hard drive anymore. It's just I don't think that way. You know, wow, He knows me. If it's not easy for me, I won't do it. So He had to make it easy. But see, I'm called according to a purpose. And the purpose is that we live a life that broadcasts to others. There's another king and there's another kingdom. There's another economy. There's another way of making things work. And I'd like to tell you, I never mess up, but lying's a sin, and I won't do that one. But I'm telling you, we have a God that sees through the shed blood of Jesus and sees us as we're called to be. Wow. I want to read you something here, and then we'll quit. I'm just going to read you the quotes I have on here because I don't want you to miss them. God doesn't call people who are qualified. He calls people who are willing, and then He qualifies them. That's pretty good. I love this, Paul David Tripp. We are called by God to do theology. Anybody ever talk to you about doing theology? That is, to live our lives with a moment-by-moment consciousness of God. That's the best theology that there is. And then this is Robert Dole's wife, Elizabeth Dole. We'll close with this. It is not what I do that matters, but what a sovereign God chooses to do through me. God does not want worldly success. He wants me. He wants my heart in submission to him. Life is not just a few years to spend on self-indulgence and career advancement. It's a privilege, a responsibility, a stewardship to be lived according to a much higher calling, God's calling. This alone gives true meaning to life. If you want significance in life, then it's to know who you belong to. It's to know that it's personal between you and him. You're called unto him, not just by him, but it's unto him. It's personal and it's purposeful. He really does have, Ephesians 2:10, those good works he laid out before the foundation of the world that we might walk in them. Before your mother and father were born, before there was anybody born, he said, John's going to be on the earth. I'm going to have him stop by on 46th Street and connect with those guys because this guy's got stuff that I'm going to have him do that nobody else can do. And the same's true for Gogo and Caesar and Jameson, right? Well, what are they? I don't know. He does. But it's my job and our job as a leadership team to try to help you get to the place where you intersect with those things. Because it's the good works that people see and glorify their Father. That's in heaven. So it's not about working for it. It's not. It's about being connected and committed to him, and he works through you to work it out. Personal. Purposeful. Powerful. Every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. Right? I mean, if God be with us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of God? See, we always misquote that. I always heard that taught. What can separate us from the love of God? Doesn't say that. It says, who can separate us from the love of God? Well, the enemy tries to. It's his job. But you know, the only person that can separate you from the love of God is you. That means me and you. And I have to come to an understanding and a grip on the fact that I really am called by God. I was called on by God before I ever did this. And I knew it. I just couldn't figure it out. And it's personal. He knows your name. Right? He knows the end from the beginning. It's purposeful. Man, he has got 10,000 bazillion ways of expressing the kingdom through all these personalities and people that are on the earth. And he wants us to be loving on people, kind to people, praying for people, to be in that spot where somebody knows somebody that's carrying the light. We are the light of the world, the Bible says. I thought Jesus was the light of the world. He was. And then he said, you guys are now. That's what he said. Pass the torch, man. We're carrying it. And you know what? In a dark, dark place, it doesn't take much of a spark to make a lot of light. And then there's the power to back it up. Any other religious persuasion, their leader's dead. All of them. Buddha's dead. Confucius is dead. Let me go right on down the line. Muhammad's dead. Jesus is alive. I said Jesus is alive. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And he's not impotent. He came to give life and give it abundantly to an abundance of people. I want to charge you today. We've prayed and people have gotten touched. I just want to put this in your heart. There really is. God really is calling on us. He really has called to us. It's clear from the scriptures that he's got plan and purpose for our lives. Why don't I know it then? Talk to the one who's the planner and the person and the power. I won't help you near as much as he will. I know this. Why would he call you to himself, and why would he have purpose for you, and why would there be power for you to do it if he was going to keep you from totally from knowing what you were supposed to do? Am I right? Because it's not that. It's not that. See, when we're the right being, in the right being place, we'll be in the right doing place. But if you're called to a doing, You know, like we say, we're not human doings, we're human beings. Right? When we're called to the right place, we'll find out the right purpose. And that place isn't necessarily geographical, it's this connective place. He is the central operator of the universe. And I said this in the prayer room yesterday, we were talking this about in the prayer room yesterday. Well, I prayed and God didn't answer. Yes, he did. You ever call anybody on the phone? And they say, hello? You've just been answered. Come on. Stay with me. If you cry out, it says, you call, I'll answer. He says, hello. He says, yes, I receive. I'm greeting it. I get it. You may not have. Have you ever been on the phone 45 minutes with somebody and never got to the thing you were wanting to talk to them about until 42 minutes? Have you ever had that happen? Well, of course, you blame them. But sometimes with Bartimaeus, the answer was immediate. Have mercy on me, son of David. Got it. Regain my sight. Got it. Boy, I wish it was all like that. I'd be out of a job probably, but who would care? Well, when he answers, see, when you call, he says, you call unto me, and I will answer you, show you great and mighty things you don't know. That's what it says, Jeremiah 33:3. But he says, if you call, I answer. That's the equation. There isn't you call and I'm on hold, or I'm at lunch, or I'm on vacation. It doesn't happen that way. When you call, he answers. He may not reply in full at the moment, but you can know he heard me. Fact is, my Bible says that everything I was ever going to say, he already knew before I said it. I'm just proving it to me by me saying it. Hello? So you get an answer? Yes. Now, when I call somebody and they say hello, I may have more that I want to talk about, right? And I'm hoping that they're going to enlighten me on that end. But that doesn't always happen immediately. Sometimes I end up having to text them or email them or call them again, right? Well, God knows what we're like. He gets that. But because he's perfect and knows the end from the beginning, Lord, when are you going to do this? Well, this isn't really the best time to talk about that. So he's going to say, how's the weather? Which is to say, the sun's up there, enjoy it. Right. Right? I want you to know that everything is answered. But it may start with, hello. It may start with, I received that. Yes, I've given it. I feel better because I've talked to you, Lord. And I know if I've talked to you, you've listened to me. And at the moment, I may not be hearing back exactly the way I want. But then, since you're timeless, this may not be the best moment. You only do things that are perfect. Golly. Haven't you ever had something happen and all of a sudden you realize, and he did this back here and this here and here. And the ancillary connections are just amazing, but at the moment you couldn't see. He was doing this one and this one, this one and this one, this one, so it could get to me, so it'd be right. You have to release ourselves to be able to do that. Why don't you stand with me? Lord, thank you for this amazing truth that you chose us because you wanted to. That makes us we're your choice. And I pray that all of us would be able to walk in a fresh touch of, we've been chosen by the Lord. God of heaven has chosen us. And I may not have it all figured out on what that means or how to do it, but I want to settle in on the truth today. Lord, thank you for choosing me to be part of your family. And it's not just a robot or even the army of God. Everybody that's in the army of God comes up through the family of God. We are called by a father into a family for a purpose, and you are empowering us for the purpose. And Lord, thank you for this grand adventure that is the Christian life. And I pray, Lord, that the enemy would not be able to give us persuasions that don't come from you because we feel insignificant or that we don't belong. I mean, there's all sorts of different ways this works. But when it comes to the family of God, we're yours and you are ours. We are your children and you are our Father, and that can't be altered. Thank you, Lord, for that reality. And now we want to say, take it from here, Lord. We know it's you. We know it's personal. We know you did it for us individually as well as collectively. And Lord, we pray that you would make more clarity of the present tense purpose for your call. And Lord, we want to have every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power realized in us and through us so that you are honored, the church is established, and people are helped out of darkness and into light. We bless you this morning, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.